Genesis chapter 5. We take up our study that we began last Lord's Day evening regarding the man who walked with God. The text is there in the verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. Let me just very quickly recap, not going into all the details, but recap what we covered last Sabbath evening. We considered Enoch and his ways before God. That is, we know that Enoch did not always walk with God. For 65 years he didn't walk with God. We considered Enoch the sinner. Of course, when you're a sinner, you cannot walk with God. The prophet has told us, can two walk together except they be agreed? Well, for 65 years, Enoch was not in agreement with God, but rather, he walked according to the course of this world like everyone else. The carnal mind, of course, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Romans 8 and verse 7. We notice not only Enoch the sinner, but also we considered Enoch and the silence. You will notice that nothing is written about the first 65 years of Enoch's life. Nothing is written. We're just told that Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. He was 65 when he begat Methuselah. But for those 65 years, nothing whatsoever is written about him. There's the silence. God's word is silent regarding those years. The reason being, of course, that during those years, Enoch never did anything for God. He had not laid up, as it were, treasure in heaven. Those 65 years, basically, he had wasted. Nothing done for God. Nothing accomplished for God. This shows that with regard to eternal matters, if a man does nothing for God, then there's nothing worth recording. Nothing. Just as there was nothing worth recording about Enoch for those 65 years. Yes, his first 65 years, we can say, were wasted years. So it is with any individual. If they know not God, and they're not living for God, then their years are being wasted. Wasted years. Wasted years, oh how foolish. As you walk on in darkness and in fears, turn around, turn around. God is calling. He's calling you from a life of wasted years. We notice not only the period, 65 years. You see also the patience, that is, the patience of God. For Enoch did not get right with God until he was 65. I know that people in Bible times, and certainly the times of Enoch, people lived a lot longer, of course, than they do now. But nevertheless, Here is a great truth we should give attention to. Here was Enoch, 65. And for those 65 years, God was patient with Enoch. Just as it is today. You think of the many individuals who know not God. And they've reached 65, 75, 85, and they're still not right with God. They could be in eternity, but God has been patient. God has given them opportunity to get right with God. We know that Felix was a man. He came under conviction through the witness and testimony of Paul. But Felix looked for a convenient season. Kept putting it off and off, looking for a convenient season. Go thy way, he said to Paul, for this time, when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee, and that time never came. So with Enoch, for those 65 years, God was patient. As well as Enoch the sinner, and Enoch the silence, we have Enoch the son. Enoch and his son. Yes, a wonderful change did take place in the life of Enoch. It coincided with the birth of his son. Verse 22 again, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And he begat sons and daughters. But the change in his life came when Methuselah was born to him. Now we know that newborn babes coming into home makes quite a few changes one way or another. And of course, parents, maybe before the child's born, have already chosen a name. But here is a name that was given to Enoch's son. He was called Methuselah. Methuselah. Now that name tells us that it wasn't so much the birth of the son that caused Enoch to walk with God. I know when newborns, babes come into a home, a parent will talk about we need to be careful and how we live and before this child of ours. We want to set him a good example and so forth. That wasn't the reason that Enoch began to walk with God. So what brought about the change? When we look at the name that was given to the child, Methuselah. That name tells us that Enoch received a revelation from God. We know that. Because the name Methuselah means when he is dead, it shall be sent. When he is dead, it shall be sent. And you say, what will be sent? Well, look at Genesis 6, verse 12. God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt. For all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come. That was it. The end is come. When he is dead, it shall be sent. And what was sent? It was the great worldwide flood that came as a judgment of God. And here God had evidently and obviously given to Enoch a name to give to his son. When he is dead, it shall be sent. When your son dies, I'm going to send judgment upon the earth. That would challenge anyone, wouldn't it? And it evidently challenged Enoch. And there was I'd use the term, an unsaved man, 65, wasn't right with God, and God told him, judgment is coming. And Enoch got right with God. He didn't want to face the judgment of God. Paul tells us about this change in Enoch's life. Paul tells us. He said he had this testimony that he pleased God. For 65 years he had not pleased God, he pleased himself. He pleased the world. But then when he was challenged about the judgment to come, he got right with God. And from that moment on, he had that testimony. He pleased God. That word pleased means he pleased well. He pleased them well. From that moment on, he pleased God well. Was that not to be our goal? What we aim for? To please God. Has our conduct pleased God? Has our conversation pleased God? Has our company? Has it pleased God? There's only one other person in all of the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, that we read about it, who pleased God. Only one other person. John 8 verse 29. And he that sent me, the Lord said, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Christ pleased God. Enoch pleased God. So you see, you look at Enoch's testimony and you read what the Lord himself said. Only two people. So we read about it, please God. That tells me that Enoch was a Christ-like man. He was like Christ. He pleased God. So we considered the ways before God. Enoch and his ways before God. That brings us now to Enoch and his walk with God. We come now to what Enoch is best known for. His walk with God. What a truly remarkable walk through life this was for Enoch. Imagine walking with God. Walking with God. First of all, tells us about his company. He walked with God. So there was his company. His company each day, each week, every month, every year was with God. That was his company. That was his daily company. When we walk with someone, we are obviously aware of their company. Even if we can't see them or see their face, we hear their footfall. We know that they're with us. We are in their company and they in us. Enoch walked with God. It wasn't just that Enoch talked about God. It wasn't the case that Enoch thought about God. It wasn't the case that Enoch taught about God. No doubt he did all of those things. No, Enoch walked with God. Day and daily, night by night, he was in the company of Jehovah. In his daily life, he was aware that God was with him. He regarded him as a close and a familiar friend. You know, don't we read over those words and pass by them? We think, oh, that was marvelous, a man walked with God. Have we ever stopped to think and meditate on that verse 22? And thought about it. And thought about what it was for a man to walk with God every day, every year. And for Enoch, 300 years. He walked with God as he walked with a familiar friend. A friend whom he would not want to offend or grieve. Remember what Amos said? Can two walk together except they be agreed? So that tells us for Enoch to walk with God, he was always in agreement with God. That's some testimony. No wonder Paul said there in Hebrews 11 that he had this testimony, he pleased God. You can only walk with God if you please God. And that brings into focus the high spiritual standard of Enoch's life. He walked with God. For 300 years, Enoch kept company with the God of heaven. What blessed company. What heavenly company. What holy company. He sought no one else's company. Why would he? He was in the best company. He walked with God. How does Enoch's walk compare with ours, or our walk compare with his? Remember what Paul said? As ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. So there's the standard set for us. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We're to walk in Christ. Day by day. And just as Enoch pleased God, that's to be our testimony. We're to please God. We're to please Christ. As well as his company. We think of his communion. His communion with God. Since we read that Enoch walked with God, that no doubt emphasizes that Enoch enjoyed communion with God. If you were to go for a walk, a long walk with a good friend, you would converse with each other. You wouldn't walk along in silence. And you would talk about many things, a variety of topics. So what must it have been for Enoch to walk with God? Wouldn't you love to know what Enoch talked to God about? And what God said to him and revealed to him. Put yourself in Enoch's position. What do you think your focus of conversation would be? As you commune with God, what would you talk about? As far as Enoch was concerned, there's no doubt it was a holy communion. Nothing worldly, nothing fleshly, nothing carnal. That would put an end to Enoch's walk with God. No such things would be talked about, for that would spoil the communion and his walk with God. Indeed, Paul tells us, for our conversation is in heaven. The word conversation there may be rendered citizenship. For our conversation or citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if our citizenship is in heaven, then surely that tells us what our conversation would be like. For any conversation we may have in heaven, and not the worldly things, and not the carnal things, not the fleshly things, no such things will cross our lips in heaven. And again, Paul has told us, but he which calls you is holy. He which calls you is holy. So be ye holy in all manner of conversation. There's it again. Someone said this world is not our home. We're only passing through. Let our conversation then be holy. Let it be heavenly. For if our conversation is anything other than holy, there will be no communion with God. Will not please God. That's surely what we want to do. As well as Enoch's company and Enoch's communion, we see Enoch and his continuing with God. Well, he certainly did. 300 years. Verse 22 again. Read that Enoch walked with God for 300 years. You take that word walked. Enoch walked with God. The word walked there means to go on habitually. To go on habitually. That tells us that Enoch never thought of doing anything else other than walking with God. He was not a man who walked with God in fits and starts. In a way, sometimes believers, they get stirred up, they're revived, maybe they're in a meeting and God speaks to them and challenges them, and from that meeting on things have changed. They're enthusiastic and zealous for the Lord, and then the fire begins to dim again and they're back where they were before, having left their first love. Again. Then they get revived again. That was not the testimony of Enoch. Enoch walked with God habitually. That was his life. His life was walking with God. that was his habit in life. You know what it's like when you get in the habit of doing something? You know it's hard to break that habit. Well, that was Enoch's habit in life. And he didn't want to break that habit. There's some habits that we may have and we want to break them. But here was a habit that Enoch had. It was a habit he didn't want to break. He wanted to continue in God's company. He wanted to continue in communion with God. He lived in the presence of God every day, every week, every month, every year for 300 years. He would not have thought of living his life any other way. And as he walked with God, he made progress with God. That's evident if you walk, you're not walking round in circles. You're walking somewhere, you're making progress. Enoch was going forward, walking with God. Again, some who profess the Lord, there may be not much further on with God than the day the Lord plucked them as a brand from the burning. They're saved, converted. But that's about it. As we read in the book of Job, saved by the skin of their teeth. That was not Enoch. Enoch walked with God day and daily. Communed with God, was in God's company. Conversed with God. Had a conversation with God. And a man or woman who walks with God will necessarily grow in grace and in the knowledge of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they'll grow into a likeness to Christ. Isn't there an old saying? If you live with someone long enough, you'll become like them. Well, that would have been Enoch. To his prayers, he would have become like his God. You cannot imagine a perpetual walk with God year after year without being spiritually strengthened, without being sanctified, instructed, and rendered more able to glorify God. That was Enoch. So without a doubt, Enoch's walk with God was a walk of spiritual progress. As it were, getting higher up the mountain. Set my feet on higher ground. That was Enoch. So let our spiritual lives be such as make progress with God. Go on with God. Get more acquainted with God. Know what it is to enjoy deep spiritual fellowship with God. As the apostle has exhorted us, Peter says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have thus far considered Enoch and his ways before God. We've just considered something about Enoch and his walk with God. We come now finally to Enoch and his witness for God. Very clear that Enoch's life alone was a witness for God. Anyone who would have known Enoch, anyone who would have met Enoch over those 300 years, there is no doubt they would have said, there's a man who walks with God. Even though it's a wicked, corrupt world, nevertheless, they're bound to have taken note. They're bound to notice the difference with Enoch. His walk was a witness for God, and his words were a witness for God. Turn with me, please, to the Epistle of Jude. Epistle of Jude. And here we see that Jude mentions Enoch. He's only mentioned in Genesis, Hebrews, and Jude. And the Epistle of Jude tells us about Enoch's personal witness for God. Enoch was a preacher of the word. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in ministration because of advantage. Think of those words that Jude wrote about Enoch. He was a man who walked with God in the midst of such a wicked, hostile, ungodly world. Yet he walked with God. He certainly didn't hide his light under a bushel. Let your light so shine before men. Enoch did that. You see, first of all, regarding his witness, we notice his ministry. He was a man who would not be silent. There was in Enoch a fire burning in his soul, so he had to speak. And in speaking out for his God, he encountered opposition. Oh, that'll happen all right. You live for God, you speak for God, you witness for God, there'll always be opposition. Verse 15 there in Jude, to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him, Enoch. He spoke against him. Enoch preached against ungodliness, preached against sin. How can he do anything else? He was a man who walked with God. So it is clear that Enoch was a witness for the Lord, which of course is what the Lord wants us all to be. He wants us all to be. In my first job in an engineering factory, met a number of men in that place, quite a large factory. There was one man I would have seen every day. We worked in the same department. I knew him for a number of years. I didn't know until about the time I was leaving that particular factory and getting employment elsewhere. I didn't know that that man professed to be a Christian man. I didn't know. Never said anything. Never said anything to me. Never witnessed to me. Or anybody else in the factory. That was not Enoch. God had done a work in his life. And he wanted to tell others about it by his ministry, dealing, preaching against the ungodliness. You notice there in that verse 15 the number of times the word ungodly is used, as though to emphasize how ungodly the world was at that time. Remember what Paul said? For those who maybe find it difficult to witness for the Lord. Paul said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great. How did he do it? He obtained help from God. And God wants us to be his witnesses. And you find it difficult, pray about it and God will give you help. I obtain help from God, Paul said. As well as his ministry, we're told what his message was. His message. Enoch was dealing with speaking against the sin of his day. So what was his message? Verse 14. His message was about the coming of the Lord. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh. That was his message. Wonderful message, wasn't it? Because here we see, what did Enoch do? Behold, the Lord cometh. He's referring to Christ. He's dealing with the last judgment. When the Lord will come with 10,000 of his angels and his saints. Enoch was a preacher of Jesus Christ. That is a true witness. Notice how he wanted to draw attention to Christ. For he said in that verse 14, behold, the Lord cometh. behold, saying to those around them, I want you to pay attention. The Lord's coming back again. Behold, the Lord cometh. They wanted to emphasize that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. The Lord's coming back again. Men and women better be ready. His message was the coming of the Lord. His message was the certainty of judgment. When the Lord Jesus returns, Enoch said, he returned to execute judgment upon all that are ungodly, verse 15. Oh, how sinners today need to be warned, need to be told about the coming day of judgment. Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Paul again said, it is appointed unto man once to die, after this judgment. So we see from all this just how faithful Enoch was in his witness for God. Not concerned about others, what others might say to him or about him. As we read in the verse 16, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words. Murmurers, complainers. Stand in the open air with a megaphone. Boy, you'll get complainers coming. Complaining. You can have a rock band in the middle of town and nobody will complain. But stand and preach the gospel, and there'll be the murmurers and the complainers. Enoch had the murmurers and the complainers in his day. Judgment day is coming. Revelation 14, chapter 6, verses 14 and 17. There we read the great day of God's wrath is come. What do the modernists tell us? Our God is a God of love. They deny that God is a God of judgment or a God of wrath. I don't know what they're talking about. Revelation chapter 6. What do you have? Verse 14. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Mountains moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said unto the mountains and rock, fall on us and hide us from him that sitteth upon the face of him which is upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. That's Christ. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? And the answer, no one. No one will be able to stand. Enoch walked with God. Enoch had his ministry. Enoch delivered his message. Enoch was a man who walked with God, so if anybody knew that God was a God of wrath as well as a God of love. If anybody knew, Enoch would know. And there in June, he spoke about the judgment of God. Considered, his ministry, his message, finally, Enoch was missed. When God took Enoch home to glory, he was missed by those around him. Turn, please, to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, chapter 5. By faith, Enoch, Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Was not found. Was not found. That tells me that Enoch was missed. The day came when the Lord translated him that he should not see death. Elijah, we know, was translated to heaven. And we are told that there were those who went looking for Elijah, and they found him not. 50 men went to look for him. They didn't find him. In other words, they missed Elijah. He was missed. When God took Enoch home, he was missed. What a testimony. He walked with God. He praised God, and when the Lord took him home, he was missed. What a lovely way. Paul, as it were, bids farewell to Enoch. In his words there in Hebrews 11:5, before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. The man or the woman who walks with God, man or woman who endeavors to please God, man or the woman who seeks to be a witness for God, when the Lord takes them, they'll be sadly missed. They'll be missed. Reverend Hamilton, man in this church, he was one of the charter members of the church down in Lehigh Valley. A few weeks ago, the Lord took him home. Called Paul home. Mr. Hamilton said, I missed him. As I'm in the pulpit, I looked down to where Paul always sat. Now he says the seat's empty. He's a man who was missed. Enoch was a man who was missed. They found him not. This man who walked with God. Amen. Let's bow in prayer. Our dear loving God, bless thee for the testimony of this man Enoch, son of Jared, father of Methuselah. He walked with God for 300 years. consistent in his walk. He made progress with God. Lord, give us that consistency also. And dear Lord, we will endeavor by thy grace day by day to walk with God, to know what it is to commune with him, to engage in conversation with him. Lord, write thy word upon our hearts. May we not soon forget Enoch and all that we've learned about him, even apart from his walk with God. Dear Lord, be with us now, I pray, as we leave the Lord's house. Grant us all traveling mercy. Keep thy hand upon us, dear Lord, throughout this week. Keep us healthy and well and safe. Again, remember those that we have been praying for. Draw near to them. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and forevermore. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.